from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brendan Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Mabo, and he just dumps it off for a first down. Rolls it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game.
It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why Brandon.
I'm sorry. No, don't blame that on Brandon.
Don't blame that on me.
Was that? I was about to jump in, and then you jumped in, but you made a noise before you.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. Anybody hear that? Did you hear that, Brandon?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were laughing.
That's what I was laughing about.
I was like
and then you went to hour
it's
two.
It's like clearing it out.
Hour two. Okay. Hour
we're
two.
Rolling on
hour
here.
Two. It's hour two.
Oh, God.
Oh,
bless.
Man, that was funny. That was a lot of fun.
To get myself, like, mentally psyched up as I come in.
No, I understand. But I think you forgot the mic was coming on, and you just made that noise before you, like, jumped in. So me and Brandon caught it. It was funny.
Dang it.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people heard it, too.
Well,
it was funny, man.
I hope you enjoyed it.
It's good radio.
It is.
Good radio.
Just play it off.
We do what we want.
Yeah, I know that. So, looking around the country right now, if you're a soccer fan, the USA women's team kicks off in a minute. There you go. There's your soccer talk of the day.
Is that all the soccer talk you're giving us?
Yeah, until we actually
more entertaining soccer talk. Cristiano Ronaldo had a $21.6 million.
How did he get off that?
Because in Europe, tax evasion, if you pay the fee, they don't take you to jail.
Yes.
Which I don't get why everyone doesn't try to get away with tax evasion then.
I don't understand it. Like, he owed so much.
Well, he makes so much.
I get that part,
makes, like,
but he owes so much.
A
mean,
week.
Anybody else that happens
makes
to,
a lot
they're
of money.
Going to jail for
same thing
a year.
Lionel Messi, that happened to him a couple years ago with some tax evasion in Argentina.
Like, how do these
money,
guys
dude?
Not have good accountants?
Money.
How do they not
well,
have
Well, how do they
accountants?
Not have good accountants? I mean, like, there comes a point, Trey, where I'm sure it's just effort. You know, you got that type of money, you know?
If you got that type of money, you pay somebody to handle
yeah.
your
well,
stuff.
Well, it's like, I'll pay it when I have to type of deal. One
There's
of those.
There's no like reason you shouldn't try to evade taxes over in Europe. The max punishment you get is having to pay the taxes you would
it's
have
having
had
to pay
anyway.
The taxes back.
That's all.
No Wesley Snipes, no
yeah,
going to jail.
Yeah, but what if you run into some trouble and like 2 years later you can't afford to pay the taxes that you were making in the previous years?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my chances if I'm making 600 grand a week.
Yeah.
I'll take my
chances. It's a lot of dinero, dude.
600 grand a week. The things that I could do. I might just like sit in this chair. If I made 600 grand a week. No, screw that. I'd be on a remote island with a connection into the station. Just talking sports. On a boat on a remote island in the middle of nowhere talking sports. That's where I might bring Brandon along. He could be my producer while I'm on the island.
Really?
I'd be like, Brandon, take me to break.
If you made 600 grand a week, we could go to Nepal and do it from the base of Mount Everest.
Everest was on last night. Y'all said it wasn't a good movie.
I haven't seen it.
It's not really a good movie, though.
Everest was on last night.
I haven't seen it, but I can go ahead and tell you it's probably not a good movie.
Top 10 mountain movies.
What?
Top 10 mountain movies. I would put Bush.
What's number three? Who ranks mountain movies?
I would put Bushwhacked in there.
All right, so three.
With Daniel Stern.
Oh, my God.
I would put Cliffhanger in there. That's a definite.
Where's Brokeback?
Brokeback might be. That's a top 10.
It was actually say what you will about the content, but it was actually a good movie.
We're not getting into that. But, yeah, it was a good movie. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger did a good job. What other mountain movies are out there? Cool Runnings. They're going down a mountain sometimes.
That is not a mountain movie. That is a bobsled.
I know that, but they were going down a hill.
I'd say The Grinch. The Grinch. Is that a mountain movie?
I don't know.
He takes the presents to the top of his mountain.
Okay, that's true. You know, so okay, maybe there's like top five mountain movies. You know, maybe there's not top 10. Bushwhacked is definitely in there.
No, it's not.
Discussion. Don't talk about Bushwhacked.
First off, because it has Marv from... I have seen it way back in the day in the 90s when it came out.
It was funny.
Because it has Marv from Home Alone. Any movie with Marv, the wet bandit, is not really a good movie, Trey. I'm sorry. He's not a great actor. Daniel Stern.
Man, that okay. All right. You know what? We need to watch this again.
We need to know your top movies right now.
I can't.
Top 10.
I don't know like top movies.
Top 10. Apparently, Bushwhacked is one of them.
No, not at all. That's a mountain movie.
I've never heard anybody say I'm going to go rank mountain movies.
Okay.
I'm not like, you know.
Okay, I'll give you one movie.
Make a particular fun of that. That's funny.
One movie that's in my top 10. Days of Thunder.
Yes. Okay. I can agree with that. I love Days of Thunder. Cold Trickle.
Good Will Hunting.
Good movie as well.
Shawshank.
Another one. Andy.
I'm drawing blanks here. Okay.
Goodfellas. Good movie. Throw that one in
there.
The
Dark Knight Rises.
Yes. Good movie.
Damn. See, I'm on a roll. Okay.
Okay. Keep going.
That's good. That's four. Rudy.
Is that favorite?
Rudy can't be in your top 10.
What's your favorite like cult classic? Not like these huge blockbuster hits that everyone ranks.
Yeah,
that
everyone loves,
10.
Yeah.
For example, mine would be The Big Lebowski.
It's a good one.
Oh, well, like one of those.
Just like one of those that's never going to be in the top 10 movie list that you see like on
Kingpin?
Google. But
Kingpin?
I haven't seen it.
With Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, Bill Murray's in it.
I mean, it's a good movie. That's a cult classic. Yeah, it's like along the lines of The Big Lebowski. It's pretty good.
Bring It On, too.
Whoa. I was just kidding. You didn't even go with Bring It On. At least go with Bring It On.
More of a You Got Served guy.
Don't worry.
It's a good one too.
I'm gonna
it's
bring it.
Cult movies. Oh, it's not quoted though. Don't quote it.
I want you to hit the pace car. I want you to be perfect. That's true. See, Days of I could watch Days of Thunder. If there was a competition in this world, I wonder what the Guinness Book of World Records is for sitting and watching Days of Thunder consecutively. I could break it. I could break it. Can we look that up? Like, I will try
that record.
I'll
already tell you, there's no one that's set it for that movie specifically.
Well, then I can break it then.
Yeah.
I can at least watch that movie at least 7 times in a row.
If it was like the game Desert Island, and you could bring one movie,
Days
one
of
book,
Thunder.
And listen to one song. Days of Thunder would be your movie?
Days of Thunder, I would bring the Adele album because that would be calming on the island. I don't want like Rage Against the Machine or Metallica because I'm just going to go crazy. And then the book that I would probably bring would be To Kill a Mockingbird. See, I just threw out some knowledge at you folks.
You threw out your opinion.
That's how we go.
I didn't learn anything.
Yeah. What did I learn? You threw out your opinions.
No, you just learned
my opinions. I
learned
about you. Yeah.
Right. If I was on an island, those are the movies. I would need a DVD player, though.
Well, then, I mean.
Or a Blu-ray. Okay, can I point something out here since we're on movies and I'm a little pissed off when we get to Chris Lee?
Do it.
How in God's name did Tom Hanks survive the plane crash and Castaway? His ass wasn't even buckled into the seat and he goes into the water at least going 200 to 300 miles per hour. He wasn't even buckled in. Like, how does he survive that crash?
How'd all those people on the Hudson survive? Most of them
weren't buckled in. That's different. They went head first into the water in Castaway. Like, you could see it. In the scene, they were just going straight down.
I'll say...
Sully is the man.
My biggest complaint with Castaway as far as survival goes is the raft. Ain't no way. 0% chance.
Okay, that's true. I'll give you that one. But my point is, though, is like somehow he held on to the raft when they crashed, and then he escaped somehow because the plane broke in two. And then the plane was still going. It's like, no, wait a minute. Now you completely screwed this movie up.
The biggest issue I have with the entire movie was how he didn't open that package like that was for his wife.
What an idiot.
Wouldn't that have been
convenient?
What if
it was like a protein bar?
No, I'm saying, what if that was like a satellite phone? Wouldn't you hate yourself?
That's a good point.
8 years later.
That always bothered me. I was like, well, he didn't die in the crash.
Do love Tom Hanks, though.
Because, and then it comes back, and then he lands a plane on the Hudson in Sully. It's like coming full circle. I survived a crash. Well, hell, I need to survive another one.
Well, I mean, Sully did happen, so that's the character he's playing.
Yeah, I know that.
I picked up what you were putting down. Yeah, Tom, he learned from his first.
Right, he learned from the first. Yeah. I could take over the plane. That's what he should have done in the first movie, Castaway. Like maybe he could
never had never seen anybody with so much gripe for
no,
Castaway.
No, that stupid movie was on the other day, and it just
whoa. With all the movies you've come on here and said are great, how dare you say any Tom Hanks movie is stupid?
No, I didn't think it was, stupid.
You don't have a good resume when it comes to movie opinions as
I
far
do
as
too.
Good movies.
I have a great
movie. You love this Daniel Stern Bushwhacked
film. Okay, it's a funny movie from back in the day.
You love it, too. No, you like it a lot.
I'm a Daniel
Castaway
Stern.
You ranked
great
it
movie.
In your mountain movie rankings. What's your number one mountain movie, then, since you have a mountain
Cliffhanger.
Movie? Okay.
Not 127 hours?
No, I never watched it.
That's the epitome of a mountain
God
movie if we're talking about mountain movies.
God bless the guy. I did watch the movie. Okay, I need to change this. My number one mountain movie.
You don't
movie,
like real mountain
no,
movies.
No, my number one mountain movie is I saw it 2 months ago. Free Solo, it was called, something like that.
The documentary of the guy climbing up.
Yeah, on Nat Geo, but it was in theaters. Yeah. That's number one. Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone climbing the ladder
is number two. Okay.
And then the guy from Days of Thunder was in Cliffhanger.
Okay. Tom Cruise.
Yeah. No, not Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise wasn't in Cliffhanger. Take me to break. Chris
and everything else.
VandySports.com.
I would have thought he might have been
coming up next. They're building. They're starting two more Mission Impossible franchises.
We should ask him how he ranks his mountain movies.
We should.
I will. That's fine. Chris Lee will be able to answer.
What's
that.
Your Mount Rushmore of mountain movies?
Of mountain movies. Your mountain Rushmore of mountain movies.
I'd even put Lone Survivor in there. That happens on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Thank you. Enough said. Go to break. Okay. It's optional.
I'm confused.
We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional Fox Sports Knoxville. We got a tweet in from at Brad Rose of B Rose 1855, probably the year he was born. He says,
the year he was born, Trey.
Oh, that was never okay. Does National Treasure 2 Book of Secrets count as a mountain movie since it is on Mount Rushmore? I would say yes.
What?
Because they find the city of gold.
No.
In the mountain.
No.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Where else do they find the city of gold?
I'm saying it's not a mountain movie though. It can't be a mountain movie. Like there was no climbing of the mountains.
They climbed to get up to the area.
Kind of like not really. They kind of just like walked, hiked. If I'm remembering correctly.
Seems like we're sneaking Everest back into the top 10 of mountain movies.
I guess so.
I'm just letting you know. We'll talk to Chris Lee about this next as he joins us here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Chris Lee, could you please give me one of your top 10 favorite mountain movies?
Yeah, right.
Let's see.
Who ranks those?
I put Cliffhanger in there.
Okay, this is one off the map.
Oh wow.
Better Off Dead. It's an 80s John Cusack movie, not really a mountain movie, but there's a famous skiing scene in Michigan. Wherever you ski in Michigan, that's the one that comes to mind. I got
Thank
nothing
you.
To say, Trey.
No. Brandon was excited for that one, so I guess he has
seen
what
it. Was it the K2? It's one you got to watch it if you haven't seen it. It's priceless.
I will add it to the list of all my great movie selections, which I have a lot of, Chris. So it goes without saying. Speaking of great selections, Tennessee is going to go down to Nashville today and get ready to play Vanderbilt tomorrow. And, you know, we have a nice group chat. And, you know, we were talking about Vanderbilt basketball, Chris. And I'd love for you to kind of give our listeners an update on how we got to this point. And, look, I know Garland's out, and I understand that. But it just seems like something else is not clicking for this Commodores team, Chris. What have you been able to gather just from being around them and being at these games?
Well, there's a lot of things not clicking. And let's start with the most obvious. Yeah, they missed Darius Garland.
Yeah.
Maybe as much as any team could miss any player. They designed their offense around him. He was everything as advertised. He got 33 points in his last full game before he got hurt. And that was against Liberty, and it's a pretty decent Liberty team, actually, one that'll probably have a good chance to make the NCAA tournament. They don't have anybody who can remotely replace him. He made everybody on the floor better. He got guys looks that are not getting open looks now. I mean, we could dwell on that, but it's huge. I think, Trey, they spent a lot of time dwelling on it and maybe feeling sorry for themselves a little bit. You know, you hear Bryce Drew, and look, some of this is not his fault because he gets asked about it constantly. You have a new TV crew come in every week. It might be different than the one the week before, so he gets asked about it a lot, and he just answers the questions honestly, but it keeps coming up. It's come up at press conferences. I think they spent a long time dwelling on it rather than looking forward and trying to find ways to make it work. I think it got to be kind of a poison for them in a way. You've got to look ahead and move on and make the best with what you have. They've not done that. I think it has hurt the team's confidence. I think you've got kids who are good shooters who can't buy a shot right now. When that happens, the kids who are left who are shooting well, which is namely Aaron Neesmith, he's going to become more the focus of defenses. And probably the worst thing is they get to the foul line a lot, Trey. Ninth most in the country per field goal attempt, and they are hitting 61% in league play. There's a lot of times late in games where there's a 1-1, and they come up empty when they really need points. I mean, I think it's a downward spiral of confidence, lack of a contingency plan, and really lack of maturity, too, because this is a team that's pretty freshman and sophomore dominated.
Looking at this, the way that they are trying to fill the void, though, Chris, with somebody like Saban Lee, or you have Chitu up there, you know, they're trying to find depth either down low to be able to be some kind of presence in the paint. If you had to pinpoint it right now, what is something that Tennessee, you know, they had an interesting performance on Saturday where they ran into an Alabama squad that just played clamp-down defense and gave them fits. Now, the shooting wasn't all that hot, but if you had to pick out one or two things that Vanderbilt can do in a game versus Tennessee tomorrow night and make things interesting, what would those two things be?
Well, I would say the most likely is the one we just talked about. They get to the foul line a lot. Everybody knows every home team in the SEC usually is going to get more whistles on their home floor. Grant Williams has been prone to foul trouble at times. I mean, do I think they're going to win that game? Not in 1,000 years. But if something crazy were to happen, it would probably involve getting to the foul line, hitting a lot of shots, and getting Grant Williams and maybe Admiral Schofield in foul trouble. Probably throw Kyle Alexander in there as well. The other thing would be the way that Vanderbilt has traditionally beaten people, which is hitting threes. I've seen many a Vanderbilt team just shoot a team out of the gym, hitting 13, 14, 15 three-pointers. Unfortunately, Trey, that's not part of this team's DNA. Now, I think they have some good players. I think Aaron Neesmith is going to be an SEC player by the time he's done. He's a really good shooter. But Matt Ryan was the guy that we thought would kind of be their outside marksman. And Matt's not hitting any shots right now. He was a very good shooter at three-pointers at Notre Dame, but he's not connecting right now. I would say it's foul shooting and maybe getting hot from three. Joe Toy's another guy that can do it, but that just hadn't been their MO lately. They're not hitting shots, so I don't know how realistic that is.
Taking a look right now at this Tennessee squad, Chris, and we've spoken about them, and the conversation we have is this, you know, a blue-collar group. This is a gritty bunch, and they seem to make a lot of things happen in the paint but have the ability to break things out from the three-point line. What are a few things that you've noticed from watching Tennessee this year, whenever you can, that have stood out to you and give reasoning behind their number one ranking?
Jordan Bowden jumps out at me. You know, the thing that I wondered about them is I thought that Grant Williams had a great season last year, but he was not super efficient from the field. Now he's ultra efficient from the field, and that's changed things for them. But he and Admiral Schofield have gotten better, but it's their supporting cast that makes him so tough. I think we've talked on text a little bit. You know, the thing that would be catastrophic for them potentially is losing Grant Williams. But I don't even know that it would be, Trey, because I watch them, you know, so many nights they have four or five guys score.
Yep.
13, 14 points or more. And Bowden is really the guy that is sort of, this is before your time, but the Pistons had Vinny Johnson, and he was called the microwave because he would come off the bench and heat up in a hurry. And when I've seen them, Bowden's kind of been that guy for them, just in terms of a guy that scores a lot of points per minutes played and does them pretty efficiently. You know, they got Bone. They've got Lamonte Turner as his shoulder's gotten better. Kyle Alexander's played a big role for them, may get a shot in the NBA. Now I just look at them, and they've got about seven really, really good players or so. In fact, I would say probably 1 to 7, they're as good as anybody. The one thing that I might nitpick with them in terms of being the best team in the conference, which I think they are, is you could look at Auburn and say maybe they've got 9 where Tennessee's got 7. But unless they get hurt, Trey, they have been so consistent night in and night out. And it's because their two stars have become superstars, truly. And all those guys in supporting roles have gotten even better. And when I watch them, I just don't see really any big holes there.
Talk about, you said that, you know, you think that the mood for, you know, for the team in Nashville is now is kind of down. A lot of guys losing their confidence. Now, the last time Tennessee was number one, it was Vanderbilt, much better team then. I remember that team much better times then for the Commodores. Knocked Tennessee off from the number one ranking. Is there a hype about the game? Are they amped up, or is kind of guys going in with that low confidence still into this game because of the dominance that they have seen Tennessee show this season?
Well, the last team I saw was not a very confident team, and that's a major difference between them and the time Tennessee lost that game that you alluded to. You know, they're going to have to get that somehow. And it's just so hard when you're a team of freshmen and sophomores and most of what you know is losing. Confidence is a fragile thing. You don't just find it on a whim. And that's why I don't give them a great chance to win that game on Saturday just because I don't know where that comes from.
Chris, looking around the conference I get excited when we talk about different things, the things that surprise us. You've got a squad like LSU is undefeated this year in conference play. South Carolina, Ole Miss have kind of snuck up on folks and are playing good basketball. South Carolina's got a tough game tonight with Auburn, and that's in Columbia. But just looking around the conference, besides the usual, like Tennessee or Kentucky, you know, and even Auburn, I thought they played well against Kentucky. Which team stands out to you the most? Is it what Kermit Davis is doing, you know, in Oxford, or is it, you know, what's going on in Mississippi State? I mean, what's been more shocking to you this year?
That's a great question. Look, you guys are sitting on the biggest story in Knoxville because the way Rick Barnes did it with, I don't think, a single top 100 player on the roster is unbelievable. It's one of the best stories in college basketball in years, but that's too easy. That aside, I think what Kermit Davis has done at Ole Miss for the team that finished last in the league, now they had some pieces. They've got great point guard play. They got Terrence Davis, who's a really good player, but they don't have much inside, and they're not a tremendous defensive team. I don't know if it'll fall off. I think it probably will, but that would probably be the story. South Carolina, you mentioned, winning its first four, really after having a pretty bad pre-conference portion of the schedule where they were 5-7. And, you know, some of that was opposition. But they've had some kids step up. A.J. Lawson is a really good freshman in this league who's really fit in and I thought sort of carried them against Vanderbilt. you mentioned LSU. Will Wade has really built them in a hurry. He's recruiting at a high level. They've got one of the better point guards in the league in Waters. Naj Reid has plugged in really nicely in the front court and is scoring a ton of points for the time he plays. Mississippi State, I saw them. That's a good team with a pretty cohesive starting lineup. Lamar Peters, Quindary Weatherspoon, Eric Holman. They're fun to watch. And I'm kind of – the two things I'm sort of watching, Trey, Alabama and Florida. People have mixed reviews on that team. Alabama darn near beat Tennessee, beat Kentucky 2 weeks ago. That's a team that's got on paper a lot of talent and a lot of versatile parts. And Florida, I just don't know what's going on there. They've lost some games they probably shouldn't have lost. They can't shoot the ball most nights.
Right, yeah.
It's hard to win the league when you can't do that. So, I mean, there's a lot of very interesting stories in this league.
Is there going to be a team that's, Chris, that maybe, you know, maybe, okay, like that happened last year where, you know, Tennessee's picked towards the bottom of the league and then all of a sudden you've got a team sitting there that potentially has a shot, you know, at the top three or top four. Would it be Ole Miss, South Carolina, or even LSU right now? Is that the direction we're going?
LSU would be the team that I would pick just because of the front court talent, because they got Waters in the back court. They got Cavell Bigby-Williams, the Oregon transfer. That's one, but Ole Miss is kind of the one that I'm watching. You know, I don't know that they can keep it up, but Brian Tyree has been so good at the point for them and capable of taking games over.
Right.
And Terrence Davis, I think one of the more underrated players in the league. I would say Ole Miss would be the biggest surprise. LSU would be the team of that bunch that I would think would have the best chance of challenging. But to be honest, I don't think anybody's really going to challenge Tennessee outside of maybe Auburn. And we'll see if I'm right on that, but that's how I see it right now.
Chris, got some people asking, what do you expect the atmosphere to be like? You know, with a team that, you know, not putting up a lot for fans to really write home about or come out and see, what do you expect? You expect to see a lot of orange in the building taking over, or do you expect to actually see a lot of Commodore fans out because Tennessee's coming to town in the number one?
I think a lot of Vanderbilt fans are disheartened. I've heard some of them selling their tickets. I think their season ticket base was maybe 8,000 or 9,000 seats. Uh-huh. They have, I believe, sold the place out, so that's probably, I'm guessing they probably had a walk-up sale of 6,000. Now, some of those were probably bought in preseason by Vanderbilt fans who lived out of town who could just make one game. So I don't know what that breakout will end up being, but would I be surprised if I saw a gym that was approaching half Tennessee? I would not. I think they're going to have a huge turnout.
It look, either way you put this game always is fun. It's a little hostile. It's a little hard, you know, hard nose down to the paint. I think we do see that tomorrow before things maybe, you know, Tennessee just kind of beats on them a little bit in a sense of wears them down. But I look forward to it, Chris. If Vanderbilt can find a shot, you know, we saw where they kept – you know, I texted you the other night when Vanderbilt was playing, you know, Mississippi State, and I was like, okay, 5 points in 10 minutes, what the hell's going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a 6-point game at halftime. Like, you know, I think one thing for Tennessee fans to be weary of tomorrow is if they can't shoot the ball in Memorial, which it's hard to shoot in Memorial Gym, watch out for Vanderbilt's defense maybe being able to clamp down just a little bit. Would you agree or disagree?
I don't think it's likely.
Right.
They just have not been. Now, I'll say one thing. They are a pretty good defensive team in terms of opponents' field goal percentage. Now, they don't force steals. They aren't great on the backboards. But the problem with that, Trey, is Tennessee just scores from so many places. So let's say Grant Williams is having an off night.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised if Schofield gives them 30 or Jordan Bowden or somebody like that. I think that when you look at firepower across the board, Vanderbilt's not been shooting the ball well. It's lost five in a row now. It's a young team. Again, I just don't see the recipe for confidence. Now, maybe being in a situation where they are, some things have clicked and some kids will wake up, but I just don't. Could it happen? Of course it could happen, but I don't think that that's a likely scenario.
Is it last question, is Vanderbilt going to hire an OC before I get there tomorrow?
Probably not.
Still working on that part, right? Hey, we'll look.
There's not a lot of urgency in the league some days, and I think that the change in the early signing period has changed some of that, which I don't blame them. I mean, if you don't if you don't have to have one, which a lot of kids who want to play for you want to know who their coordinator on that side of the ball is going to be, but most of those kids are in the books already, and I just don't think it's a big factor right now. I don't blame them. I'd take their time and make sure they get the right guy.
Hey, if anybody knows how to be patient, it's East Tennessee folks. So we'll see how it plays out in Nashville. Chris Lee, please tell everybody where they can follow you for all your pregame coverage for Vanderbilt, Tennessee tomorrow.
Yeah, most of our stuff, we do a podcast. You can find that at vandysports.com. We do all of our game coverage there, too. We're on Twitter. We don't do a lot of in-game updates and stuff on Twitter, but you can find us at vandysports.com there, too.
It's fantastic. My brother, thank you so much for joining. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and we'll hang out, man.
Be safe, Trey.
Thanks, buddy. Chris Lee from vandysports.com, Rivals affiliate. I appreciate him joining us. One of my best friends for the last 5 years. Really good guy. Knows what he's talking about. Hosted a show with him in Nashville, and he is a great dude.
Good stuff.
Look forward to seeing him tomorrow. Really do.
Good stuff, yep, but so. Don't feel bad that Vandy sucks this year. I do not feel bad.
Oh, no. You can't feel
bad. Be clad in orange there. Just take over the whole damn gym.
We'll talk about that on the other side. I'd be interested to see what the turnout's going to be like for Tennessee fans tomorrow in Nashville with the number one team coming to town. We'll have that. We'll have news of the day coming up as well. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch bringing us back in here. It's optional on Fox Sports. Knoxville. That
feel it.
Something like that. Not really.
Come on.
That is nothing. Wasn't he? I think it was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. Was that Vanilla Ice?
Vanilla Ice was, dude. Wow. You put Marky Mark in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? Wow.
That might be a plus for him.
Wow.
I would like him more if he was in the Ninja Turtles movie.
He could have been
Vanilla Ice kind of killed it. I mean, that's the height of his, you know, stardom.
He does a show on HGTV.
Yeah, that's weird. That's just weird.
Vanilla Ice. Who would have guessed that Donald Trump was president, Vanilla Ice was running an HGTV show?
HGTV. Yeah,
I would have taken that parlay 15 years ago.
What was the guy's name with a hockey mask in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Slater?
No idea.
Shredder.
No, not Ned. It was Shredder.
Shredder. You said the hockey mask.
No, not the bad guy. I'm talking about the guy in the hockey mask that was helping out the mutant turtles.
I know all the turtles' names. I don't know any.
You know, he was the reporter's
girl, I don't know.
Boyfriend.
I don't.
I thought her boyfriend was the turtles.
No, her damn boyfriend wasn't the turtles.
April.
April, no.
No, she was like in love with the turtles at that.
No, she wasn't. She was fascinated by them.
Shredder wore a
mask. Casey was the name. Thank you, Garrett Miller.
Casey Jones.
Maybe.
That's a good
that
song.
That was his name. Casey Jones is a good song. He was a young vigilante that constantly wore a hockey mask and wielded several hockey sticks.
Right, exactly.
Well, first of all, you were like, she didn't date a turtle. Well, the Casey Jones guy looks like he's dead. So it wasn't any better. Maybe she should have dated a turtle instead.
Okay, I'm not going to use that. I use that term too much. Great. That was a good movie.
You do like, you know, add a lot of greats to the movies.
Was number two good?
Didn't watch it.
You didn't watch Teenage Mutant Turtles number two?
Don't remember it if I did. I remember the first one. I probably did, man, back in those days. I was a big turtle fan, so I probably did. Just don't remember a lot of it.
Did you watch the second one, bro?
I only remember watching one of them, but I was an age where I don't remember the name of it or which one it was.
I was a big Three Ninjas fan. Good movie, Three Ninjas. They had a sequel, Three Ninjas Kick Back. It was pretty good.
I don't think anyone was saying it was a bad one. I'm saying me and Ben hadn't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen Three Ninjas?
So, yeah.
Okay.
No one was saying, that's a trash movie. I was like, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Three Ninjas was pretty cool.
Did you ever see that movie?
For its time.
Did y'all ever see that movie, Airborne?
No, but I was a big Air Bud fan.
No, Air Bud was a big kid on rollerblades.
The kid on rollerblades.
He grew up, went to high school, but he was a rollerblader.
I would rather watch a dog I think play I remember basketball.
There was a better one with Christian Slater where they were all skateboarders.
Oh, that was Blader or something.
Like where like he was like a Pizza Hut delivery guy, too. That was a really good one.
Now, Airborne was the good one with the, you know, he was on the rollerblades.
I remember what movie you're talking about. See, that's another thing. Like, can't say it was a great
Jimmy
movie.
Spark says, I believe it was the second Turtle movie that had Vanilla Ice in it.
Ice is back.
Go baby, go baby.
Airborne
go.
was pretty cool. They played the little the roller hockey too.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. See,
but they were. You're right. They were. This is a '90s movie. It's pretty good.
Did you see the Mighty Ducks were honored the other night?
Yeah, they have aged. Keenan still looks about the same age though. I did see they were honored. That movie was called Gleaming the Cube that I was thinking of. Yeah, with Christian Slater.
Not seen that.
Definitely a good movie. Probably going to watch that movie later on this evening or sometime soon.
Somebody said, no, I'm wrong. That was Gleaming the Cube.
Yes, Gleaming the Cube is a good movie. Whoever said that. Great
Chip
movie.
Payne.
Chip. That's my boy. Oh, Chip's always got my back. That's my boy, Chip Payne.
Newsies was a good movie.
What the hell is that?
Don't look for me for help.
Well, there he goes
no
again. There he's doing
is.
It. He's doing it again. He's doing
you
it again.
You know what Newsies is? With nah. Christian Bale?
You are not allowed to say the most absurd movies and then act like I'm crazy for not watching it.
He always does look at...
How did y'all not grow up watching the movie Newsies?
I'm 24. When did this come out?
Yeah, he's
know.
Got it. We
probably
got, a, we got
early
some,
90s.
Some years on Brandon. Early 90s, he was like 4.
I don't care. He should watch that as Newsies. A young child.
When were you born, Brandon?
It came out 2 years before I was born.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a movie that you watch. Later on.
Newsies, Trey?
Christian Bale was in that movie?
It doesn't look like that great of a movie.
I was a big, like,
it's a musical.
Oh, Trey.
Based on the New York City Newsboy strike.
Oh, Trey.
What in the world are y'all getting? What are you saying, oh, Trey, for?
Newsies? It's a Disney musical.
It's a musical about the Newsboys strike?
But it was different back in the day. Like, Disney had their, you know...
No, Disney's always produced great movies, but this sounds like a straight to like
I didn't
VHS
say great.
Movie.
No, it was good. It made some money.
See, all right.
Just like the movie.
Now
Hook.
We're getting more into your movie
Hook
taste.
With Dustin
like
Hoffman.
You threw out a bunch of ones that like everybody loves. Now we're really getting into the movies you actually like. Hook, pretty good movie,
Robin
man.
Robin Williams.
Hook was a good one.
Yeah, nobody, Goonies, nobody ever
Roberts.
Disputes Hook.
The Goonies.
Goonies, Roof great.
Oh.
That's a good. You're talking cult classic, Goonies.
The Goonies,
exceptional
man.
Cult
Never
classic
seen it.
Film. See,
oh.
man,
you've seen Newsies,
but you haven't seen
the Goonies.
Goonies. Come on, dude.
Never seen the top 10 sports movie. Tin Cup would be in there.
I'm going with like Major League as always. Any of the
well,
major leagues.
Man, I do love Tin Cup, but I don't know if it makes the top 10.
What?
Caddyshack's better than that. Way better.
White Man Can't Jump is one of my favorite ones.
Two different stories. I mean, two different kind of categories. One's drama, one's comedy.
I mean, they're both golf movies, though.
Yeah, I know that, but Tin Cup was the business.
I mean, yeah, yes, if you... Sport, like serious sports movies, then yeah.
Trey is out here talking about box office bombs like they're all-time greats.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, these are... I remember some
Thanks,
of these are
Danny.
Bombs.
Appreciate it.
Some of these were bombs.
Newsies wasn't a bomb.
I could
they
go out
dropped
there.
The bomb.
I bet you nobody remembers Newsies. We should put a poll out.
Oh,
have you seen... Can
that's
you put a poll
BS.
Out? Have you seen the movie
favorite,
Newsies?
That's
what's your,
BS.
What's your favorite musical about the Newsboys strike in New York City?
Newsies.
Like, what?
I promise you.
Newsies?
75%
Newsies.
Of the vote will know what the movie Newsies is.
I'm asking the question right now. I'm putting it on up at Fox Sports Knoxville. Have you seen the movie Newsies? I think you're going to be really shocked at the results, Trey.
Somebody said Hoosiers is top 10. Well, yeah, that's a given.
Hoosiers is like the best movie of all time, period. End of story.
My
it's
taste.
A great movie.
My taste.
I love Hoosiers. It's a good movie. They
not,
did.
It's not your
better?
Fault, Brandon.
Hoosiers or Newsies?
It's not your fault.
What do you like more?
It's not your fault.
Oh, Good Will Hunting is not the best movie of all time.
No, I didn't say that. I was just letting you know it's not your fault.
Well, I was making.
All right, Hoosiers was a good movie. There's a lot of flaws in Hoosiers too. Like, you know, the drunk guy. You know, and then
he was necessary.
Yeah, he was necessary. Then they ran into some the easiest wheel like motion offense that should have been stopped. But I do like Hoosiers a lot.
I mean, it's based on a true story.
No, you're right.
Don't let the paint dry. They ran the white picket fence.
Yeah, the white picket fence. Right. Yeah.
Jimmy Chitwood.
Oh, Jimmy
Look,
Chitwood.
I don't know more iconic golf scene than Kevin Costner sitting on the 17th hole trying to make it over the water, you know, like 10 times. That was a great movie.
I think Danny lining up for the putt with Judge Snails going, well,
thank
we're
you.
Waiting.
That's true.
Remember Titans, obviously a good one, sports movies.
Eric said Secret of Ooze. It was the best one, Ninja Turtles.
The Secret of the Ooze.
I think that's the one I've seen.
Natural, good movie.
Robert Bull Edward. Durham.
Any Given Sunday.
Not going to lie.
I'm a big white man, can't jump. Didn't Friday Night Lights. I liked Friday Night Lights, the movie, more than I liked the TV series. Never really gave this TV series much.
Didn't see Bull Durham till last year.
But my number one sports movie? And a lot of people argue it's a coming-of-age movie. No, Sandlot. All day. I'm a big Sandlot fan. Could probably recite the entire movie if I had to. That's my favorite movie.
I mean, I can't hate on your movies when I throw out box office
Newsies.
Hits.
Newsies. It's up at Fox Sports Knox if you'd like to vote on the poll.
Vote on the poll!
On
you
Twitter.
You know what Newsies is, people.
Have you ever seen the movie
Newsies?
It's not so much that you've seen Newsies, it's that you've seen that, but you haven't seen The Goonies.
Yeah, that is the biggest problem there.
Danny Holbert said, if Newsies wasn't a bomb, then explain the opening blurb on Wikipedia, which says, the film was an initial box office bomb and received negative mixed reviews.
Yeah, dude.
It was an initial box office bomb. Then
what do they call that? The dead cat bounce? Like when a company is like tanking? And then they have that one day where everyone's like, oh, maybe they're not as in bad shape as possible.
And they Dr. Faust53 on Twitter, he has voted. He says The Newsies is a great movie. Also, he put The Newies. So I don't know if he really meant The Newsies. Maybe he meant The Newies.
Is it better than The Goonies?
He said, don't hate until you've seen it. But there's a lot of like gifs coming in. People like, you know, never seen this movie.
That's Christian Bale. You know, he was dancing and singing.
I don't think that was when Christian Bale was like so popular, Trey, though. Like, he was kind of young then, right?
I didn't say. Yeah, he was kind of young.
But the way you were saying, like, that's Christian
Bale.
You
want an all-star cast, watch Wet Hot American Summer. All-star cast.
Days of Confused.
I mean, that was a good one, too.
Great. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Top Gun my ass out of here. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville coming back in here. We are rolling along. The Drive coming up next with Bear Russell, Brandon, Rick, and whoever else decides.
You got an ally out there, though. Rick Young Frederick Butler.
Good. I feel good.
Loves Newsies. Has seen it. And even one Rick Butler was out there singing the entire, I guess,
feel
like,
better now.
It's a musical. He was singing it. He was going to town. He said he loves the movie.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Rick. A little bit of breaking news, not newsy or Christian Bale related. Kansas City Chiefs have fired their defensive coordinator.
He gone.
So they're looking for another one now. Oh, that's going to be great. Bob Sutton. His lack of adjustments has been nonstop frustration, per Ian Rappaport. Seems
he
about right.
He gone.
Let's take Brandon. Let's go to news of the day, brother. Hit me with it.
The Life newsies of the day.
Oh, the newsies of the day. Oh, you never living that one down, brother.
All right. What is today? Today is National Blonde Brownie Day.
I love a good blonde brownie.
Also, National Celebration of Life Day and National Answer Your Cat's Question Day. No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Hey, cat people are weird. Cat people are weird.
Really weird.
Moving on. The Chinese doctor who sparked international outrage after claiming he helped make the world's first genetically edited babies has been fired from his job.
Oh, man, the outrage.
Yeah. Apparently genetically modified twins to make them resistant to HIV.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And apparently then doctored a bunch of ethical documents as well.
Ooh.
So, anyway, he's in.
You think?
He's deep. He's deep in it. Also, Tom Brady, when he was in college, he was an intern at Merrill Lynch, and his former boss said, quote, "You're a clipboard holder, man. You have to start a career, and I'll write you a nice referral," when Brady was considering pursuing football. So, anyway, the guy came back. Guy came back, kind of, you know, apologized about it.
Moving on. Mouth.
Darren McFadden arrested on DWI charges.
What?
In McKinney, Texas, in the Whataburger drive-thru for falling asleep.
He got arrested at a Whataburger?
I've been to the exact Whataburger he got arrested. I got family in McKinney, Texas, so.
McKinney's a nice little town.
I like it.
How you get arrested at a Whataburger, though?
You fall asleep. You fall asleep in the drive-thru.
The Whataburger. Gotta get drunk.
Them honey chicken biscuits.
Nah, you gotta get that Whataburger.
You fall asleep.
Cheese, bacon.
You fall asleep in the drive-thru line. They're gonna find you.
If you're gonna fall asleep, just throw your keys out the door. Like
a lot of people don't know that. Then he goes from a DUI to a public intoxication.
Right. I'd be willing to bet he wasn't thinking too
clearly. Yeah, that's something. He probably just didn't. Yeah.
Drunk.
Also, oh, no, he threw his keys up. All right.
Moving on. On this day, 1998,
yeah,
the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, pleads guilty to the bombings in Sacramento, California.
Oh, because it was federal court. Okay.
Also, moving on. 2010, Conan O'Brien made his final appearance as the Tonight Show host.
That didn't last long.
And then had the Conan Show.
On TBS now. Yeah. Still rolling.
Have you seen all the documentaries about him and Jay Leno? And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
David Letterman?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy, actually.
Also, 1901, Queen Victoria dies.
Oh, wow. Sad day.
Sad. It was a very sad day, wasn't it?
Yeah. Anything else? Anybody else die?
We're looking. Oh, yeah. 1973, Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ.
LBJ.
Away in Texas.
Huh. Interesting.
And 1981, the final portrait of John and Yoko is on the cover of the Rolling Stone, you know, because John had passed away. R.I.P.
This is true.
Didn't, I think
Heath Ledger died today, 11 years ago.
Did he?
He did.
Oh. He did?
R.I.P.
2008.
See, I broke some news to you.
Another breaking news up at Fox Sports Knoxville. Have you ever seen the movie Newsies with Kristen Bell?
Where's the poll at?
Coming up. 16%.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
63% no, and 21% with a big hell no. So we're going to go with 84% of our many, many listeners and followers say no.
I want to thank Nick Bromberg for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Trey.
Chris Lee for coming on the show today. Chance and Brandon will take you. I'll be reporting in from Nashville tomorrow. You guys be good, be blessed. Newsies is still the best. See you tomorrow.